Those are very great words, and I love the way that Zipari always plays it, an expression in each line. And I'm sure that even before I come to the message, that if there are souls here seeking a saviour, if you're not even singing, if you're reading those words, they are words that can tell you enough about the love of God. But I'm going to try now again, and this time by looking at a verse in Psalm 142. Psalm 142 and the fourth verse. And the latter half. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. It is a very moving psalm. It's also a very personal psalm as well. There are psalms like that. They speak deeply to our hearts. And psalms like this are often written because of a situation that is around the person. And so often you would think, well, we shall understand this psalm by just thinking of the individual. Well, that's right. But you also have to ask, well, why is he crying out like that? And then you discover it's because of circumstances. There were many times when King David was laid low, brought low. And there are many times when he's in those experiences, he almost relives when he came to the Lord. You can take a psalm two ways often. You can take it as an initial experience, and also you can take it as a time of distress of soul as a believer. They always can be applied so often in two ways. So they're applicable to all of us here. What kind of days do we live in today? I think we must be fair and say, never was there a time where there was so much care. On one hand, there is no need for anyone to go hungry in our own country now. There is no need, even if a person is out of work, for them to be without money. There is no need for any kind of wants. When old age comes upon us, there is no need for us to be afraid, for we should be cared for. If we should be taken ill, there is no need for us to consider whether we can afford to be ill and afford to pay the doctors and the hospitals. It will be paid for. There is no need. And even if we belong to a part of society that's not able to make any contribution or very little, there is no need for us to worry, because the whole of the country is making its contribution and we are cared for. And yet, was there ever a more lonely time? I find, when I speak to ministers, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the problem that we come across most of all these days, in hundreds of people, whether they are in families or whether they are single, whether they are young or whether they are old, is that of loneliness. Loneliness is a strange thing. We can be in a group of people, congregation as we have here tonight, and yet you can be alone. And yet in a way we must face up to that. You see, there is an aloneness. I know it's a word I make up, but there's a meaning to it, isn't there? There is an aloneness that you've got to face up to. We must not look always towards other people for things. We can help each other. We are told to bear one another's burdens. That is true. All that is there. But when it comes to the deep comfort of a soul, David here by the Holy Spirit is saying that you must face up to the fact that it's between God and yourself. There must be that. What kind of day do we live in? Well, as I said, it is a day of great care and of great concern. Vast organizations that go to endless trouble, and plenty of means whereby we can complain If we feel that we haven't had our rights, and all the machinery will be set in motion, and so that will be rectified, and so on. And so the cycle or the circle goes on and on in that way. Yet it is a day of confusion and a day of distress, a day of great fear. I feel that all the unrest that is in the industrial realm today, very often people get cross about these things, or they justify them according to their views. I think they manifest something far deeper than that. I think people are really frightened. They're really frightened of life. They know not where to turn. They cannot understand the meaning of this world. They cannot understand the meaning of life. And so all we can do is hold on to things. And it's very understandable. From a human point of view, it is very understandable. I am not now supporting any kind of action or that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that all this unrest, this restlessness, has crept through the whole of society. It has come into churches as well. It even would try and invade evangelical churches. It would do everything. It's the spirit of the age. A spirit of fear. A spirit of unrest. A spirit of anxiety. And it manifests itself in anger. Why shouldn't I? I should. Why can't I? And if we could only understand that, I think it would help us a great deal. I don't know exactly the circumstances that King David is writing about here, but he's talking about a time, certainly, that there was great concern in his heart. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. Now, the psalm then deals with the problem of the heart. And if a man is right with God, are you right with God? Now, there are levels, you see. There's the initial level of being converted, right with God. Then right in your attitude. You know, you can have this in relationships between people. You can say with a person next to you, I am in a good relationship with him, and then you're not really very interested in him. And then you know you're not really right with him. You can sense it very often. A way a person may ask, how are you? As a member or a fellow member of a church, you might say, nice to see you, and just be quite courteous. And you sense immediately something. You just feel that it is there. Now, what is wrong? There is right, and there is right. You're right with God. You might say, I know all about salvation, I know all about Jesus Christ. Yes, but do you know the heart of that? To be at peace with God? To have deep peace in your heart and in your soul with God and with one another? Do you love him and you love the Lord's people? Right with God. Now, this is what he's talking about here. He was never very popular, King David. He had many great disappointments, but nevertheless, I am very glad that he gave expression at those times to the words that he did. For they are a help to us in every age by the Holy Spirit. Now then, where do we begin? We begin with this knowledge of the need of God. We may not want God. Not many people want God. But we certainly need God. Now then, where are we? Look at us. Us and our little effects. Us and our little bundle. I can't help but feel like that regarding it. I think it has all to do with moving house, you know. You find out all the things that you collect together and you think, us and our bundles. What a big bundle of things we gather together today. And we're all the same, aren't we? We seem to be collectors. Do you know I found a book that I've been searching for that I packed in a case when I came from Llandewi Brefi here? And after 17 years, I found it in something that hadn't been unpacked since then. Us and our little bundles. And what are they? Really now. What are they? Us and our little things. And there comes a time when surely not only when we die, but before then, when we must separate ourselves from our things and realize, what am I? What have I? Am I right with God? Have I really got to the heart of the matter? Or am I still polishing little things here, there, and everywhere? Am I right with God? Will this be true of me when it says in the scriptures, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I can remember using that text for the first time in Cincinnati. I mentioned Llandewi Brefi. It was my first funeral there of a lovely Christian man saved in the 1904 revival in Wales. And he was a true and a glorious believer. And it was the first death in the church. And I thought, what shall I have as a text? None other than this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, are you precious? Are you precious in his sight? Are you precious in the sight of the Lord? Now let's look at this psalm just for a little while tonight. The complaints of a soul. Now, King David here is an honest man, and he allows himself to use the words of ordinary men and women when they're feeling a little bit grumpy, and he allows his kind of grousy feeling to come out. Verse 1 is an introductory one, and it's therefore a dignified one. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. In short, I prayed. That's what he's saying. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. If you want to know, really, it's Hebrew poetry, where you have two phrases there, and instead of having rhyme in sound, they have rhyme in concept, in thought. So he starts there. He's writing a hymn. It's a hymn born of experience. Now then, I poured out my complaints before him. I showed before him my trouble. It's a wonderful verse. What did I do? Ah, he said, this is what I did. It was a time in my life when I felt nothing was right. If you ask me, well, what was wrong? I was not really able to say at first what was wrong, but nothing was right. There seemed to be a longing in my soul. There seemed to be an awakening there. And yet there seemed to be a disappointment in life, and a disappointment with people, and a disappointment in things. The word sin yet, not fully understood. He said, I showed him my trouble. That's the language of the heart. Do you know what that really means? I showed him the unworthiness of what I am. He exposed his heart to God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been that honest? I brought my complaints. That's fairly easy. But I showed him my trouble. You had experiences like this when a person may come to you, and at first you can see that they're feeling quite annoyed, and the first few sentences are militant. Then suddenly, they are not really militant. It drops, and they say, you know, I'm awfully upset. And the real anguish is displayed, because they really trust you. And they show you their trouble. At first, it comes as a complaint. And then they show you their trouble. But now this is on the level with God. And we begin there. I showed him my trouble. What are the details of his trouble? In verse 3, we can go on. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Now, it's quaint language, and yet it's quite understandable, especially that first part. He says, I tell you how I feel, Lord. Everything, and modern language now, everything is getting on top of me. That's what he's saying. It's very ordinary language. Everything is getting on top of me. Or, if you like, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me like a great ocean wave that hadn't got a chance against its might and its size. You feel as if you just built a little brick wall just about 3 feet high, and it was all right for ordinary little waves that just lapped at the shore. And then suddenly you see this 30, 40 foot wave, and there is no chance. You are completely overwhelmed with the circumstances that overtake you. That's how I feel, he says. Everything is getting me down. Everything is on top of me. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You knew all about it. It seemed as if everyone was out to trap me. It seemed like that. His heart, his soul, his mind are in perfect harmony here of distress, of circumstances. My heart is overwhelmed. Well, can he go any further? Well, yes, he can, and he does so in verse 4. And surely many, many of us, one time or another, and most especially on the brink of faith, if we were not able to express it like this, it would have been something similar. I looked on my right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know me. It was as if no one wanted to know. No one wanted to know. Have you been in a situation like that? With an ordinary problem. And nobody wants to know. Nobody is really interested. And they're just telling you to take hold of yourself. And no one wants to know. But here it is on a deep spiritual level. And you say, I want this salvation. And yet no one wanted to know. And it's as if everything failed me. Refuge failed me. Everything I felt was safe. When all around my soul gives way, says one hymn writer, everything gave way. Refuge failed me. Things I normally would hang on to. My talent, my ability, my popularity, my friends, my family, my something. Refuge failed me. Because of this one thing, no man cared for my soul. Can you read something into there? He is not saying that people are unkind to him. You see, people can be very nice to us. People can be very kind. People can be very courteous. But what he's asking here is this. I can go to a place and they can give me a great welcome. They never mentioned my soul. I can go to a place and they can talk of many things, but they never mention my deepest longing and my deepest need. No man cared for my immortal soul. We are made fun of, aren't we? Churches like this. We are made fun of now by the media quite often. And if we are not made fun of, often there are oblique references of the damage we can do, and especially it will be to young people. And there are about today very damaging cults. I am fully aware of that. But it seems to be every time as if the punchline was meant mainly for the people of the faith. Why? Shall I tell you why? We care for the souls of men and women. And because that is so, it angers a generation that we live in. And they are upset. And we can be upset if we're outside the Lord. And we said, this is what I want. No man cares for my soul. I can live in a society that will feed me, clothe me, dress me, heal me, help me in my old age, as a baby, if I'm a difficult child or a difficult youth, they will see to me that I'm put in the proper place and given the proper treatment and so on. But no man careth for my soul, my immortal soul. They will feed his body that dies. They will dress his body that dies. I am not saying that these things are not necessary. What I'm saying is, surely it is a terrible thing when that is at the expense of the care of our immortal souls. That's how he felt. I looked at my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man, he didn't say no man cared. No man cared for my soul. Then the cry of a soul. There comes a time when every person must be on their own with God. Now that is something you and I have got to recognize. We can be helped, we can be aided, we can be pointed in the right direction, but there must be something that King David here discovers, where there is that intimate moment between God and the soul. There must be that time, and we do not complain then. Indeed, it may well be that he causes us to come to a place of complaint and showing him our trouble in order that we may cry out. Because we've got to cry out before God will hear us. The cry of a soul. How does a soul cry? A body cries by shedding tears. A soul can use a body, they are as one in a way, and shed tears. How can a soul cry? How can it cry for help? Very often the flesh and the desires of the flesh stifle the cry of the soul and the need of the soul and give it many things that will not help it at all. Do you remember this hymn? Today thy gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a father's welcome and pardon for their sins. A similar hymn to the one that we, the translation that we were singing not so very long ago. Listen to verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, now notice from verse 4 to verse 5. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Remember the phrase, refuge failed me. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living, now and forevermore. I must discover that here. I must not expect it from other men. They may point the way, they may declare the gospel, but the ultimate step must be that intimate relationship. When I suddenly realize that refuge must fail, I must not trust in men, or in myself, or in my virtue, or my ability, or whatever it may be. And I must come to that place where I say, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It is a great realization in the history of a soul. When a soul comes to that place where it recognizes that. There's so many voices today. So many voices. So many claims. But isn't the answer really a simple one, my friends? We know when a man is preaching from the Bible, don't we? We know when he's using something that is not biblical. And we know when he is not using the Bible as he should, although he may have an open Bible before him. The simple test is that the preaching of the word. That is for you to assess. And God will help you there. If you see if a message clings closely to that which is there and relates to that which is in the whole or the Bible itself. So many voices, yet we know that there is a voice that speaks to my soul, sharper than a two-edged sword, and that is the voice of God through his word. We've tried many things, haven't we? So many, many things. And yet we know that in the end, it has to be God. We try all sorts of little things that seem interesting, but in the end, we have to come back to a pure faith. Do you remember the old nickname? We don't ever get called it today, sadly. They call the old evangelicals, do you remember what they used to call them? Puritans. Wonderful nickname. Oh, I wish they called us that. Puritans. Pure in mind, pure in heart, pure in soul, pure in worship, pure in life. Why? Because a pure spirit, a Holy Spirit, have brought them to a Savior to be purified of their sins. That's our Savior. Attend unto my cry, for... Now, here's verse 6. This is the all-time low, if you like. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. He's got to. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Well, of course they are. Now, you can take that in many ways, and each way is applicable. He's saying, please, Lord, listen to me. I am in earnest. And God would say, and about time too, because you've heard many messages. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. And God will bring us very low. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in order that he might exalt you and bring you up. And he alone is able to do this. He brings us so low that we feel that we can never go any lower at all, or ever be so destitute as that. Yet he can do that to us. And we cry out, deliver me from my persecutors. There is Satan and all his agents that will help him, for they are stronger than I. Of course they are. So I am brought low in order that I might be helped by God. Where are we? The complaint of a soul. A sick soul complaining. I showed him my trouble. The cry of a soul beginning to understand its need. Beginning to see it is immortal. Beginning to see that when the body dies, it will live in any case, whether it be in heaven or in hell, it will live. And so the soul now begins to protest. And the flesh will try to quell and to quieten its desires. But the cry of the soul will emerge and cry to God. I don't know how it cries. I only know when it does. And you know when your soul has wept. You know when your soul has cried. You know when your soul is honest with God. No man cared for my soul. The care of a soul. Bring my soul, this is the final verse here, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Bring me out of captivity, and bring me that I might have my heart desires, that I might be amongst the Lord's people, and praise thy name. In other words, bring me to God. Well, however shall we be brought to God? In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, we have a very helpful verse here which links with the thought here. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. What for? That he might bring us to God. That's the answer of our blessed Savior. And that's the answer of God. And it has nothing to do with affluence, and nothing to do with poverty, and nothing to do with health, and nothing to do with sickness. It has to do with our immortal souls. And the church, although caring and never forgetting, well, for the poor and the needy, for they are always with us, says our blessed Savior, don't forget them, but never ever loses vision of the care of a soul. Never ever lack to see the importance or the destiny of a soul, and to see in a person, however difficult, however angry, however disturbed they may be regarding things, that you can see there an immortal soul that can be precious in the sight of the Lord. You see it like that? Do you value your own soul? Have you a skinny soul? Do you remember that psalm that says, He gave them the desires of their hearts and sent leanness unto their souls. He made them fat physically, materially, but made them skinny in their souls. That made them mean all round and not precious in the sight of God. Oh, our soul. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The sins that you and I have committed. The sinners that we are. The just, the pure, the altogether lovely one. The gracious one. Are there words that are not, are they? Shall I ask you to think of him? Whatever you may be thinking of now, may I ask you to think of him, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000, a bright and morning star, Jesus Christ, the just, without sin. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins at Calvary, the just for the unjust, for you, for me. And how unjust we are. We're unjust with God. We're unjust with other people. We're unfair and biased and prejudiced in everything. We are self-centered because we are sin-centered, and then a miracle can take place. Somebody is bringing me to God. Well, what's happening to me? Well, wonderful things are happening to me. Listen, there are so many hymns here, and we sang a number of them. One we sang earlier on. Where is it now? About the dungeon in this. Here we are. Long my prison spirit lay, fast bound in sin and sith nature's night. Thine eye diffuse a quickening ray. I woke. That is, from my complaining, I began to cry out. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. What happened to me? My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And then the result, no condemnation. Now I dread Jesus, and all in him is mine. And the wonderful words that then go on from that hymn. Because Jesus Christ the just died for the unjust. And how unjust we are. To bring us to God. If you had that intimate relationship. In the same epistle we are given these words. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Well, can you deny it? Here is the Son of God who pays the penalty for our sin. He is just. He is there in place of the unjust in order to bring us to God. Are we going to be so proud and say, well, I don't need to be brought to God. I find my own way there. Is there anyone so proud that he can say that? We all need to be brought there. We all need to be literally carried there. In the arms of God's grace, we all need to be washed. We all need to be cleansed. We all need to be forgiven. So what shall I do? Repent and believe in this Savior and find that there is one who cares for your soul. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accent clear and still above the storms of passion. And listen to this line, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant mine own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend. The wonderful words. Have you come to that place where there was a complaint in your soul and you cried to from the depths of your soul and you found that there is a person who cares? We're going to sing a hymn, but before we sing it, I'm going to introduce it to close my message. Jesus, carer, lover. Jesus, lover of my soul. Let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Have I any other refuge? My refuge failed me. Thou art my refuge. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust, are you there? All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing, even the shadow of his wing. And listen to the ultimate plea. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. No man care for my soul. Oh, yes. There was a man once came from heaven, the Son of God, and he took on the form of a servant, and he took on the likeness of men, and he died even the death of the cross for people like ourselves. How much grace has he? Is there enough for me? Is there enough for us all? Is there enough for a lost nation like our own? Plenteous, plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover how much? All my sin. No purgatory, no penance after death. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound bountifully towards me. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life, everlasting life, the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Yes, there is one who cares for my soul. Do you care for him? Repent and believe. Let us pray. O Father, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and ask thy help. Help that we might be a gracious people. Help us to overcome the difficulties of our hearts and our troubled hearts. Help us, O Lord, to reveal the depths of our soul to thee and to know what it means to know the lover, the greatest lover of souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour. Amen.